Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want to expand the term veteran, and I hope you'll allow me to do that. Expand the term veteran to cover all those who have served or who are actively serving in the Lord's army as well. And our marching orders from the Apostle Paul are very simple. They come from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And make no mistake about it, if you're here today and you are a Christian, you are in an army. And there is a battle going on. Amen. And it is a spiritual battle. And look at what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And this will be our text for this message today. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, the grim reality, according to this verse, is that as soldiers of the Lord's army, we face a continual battle. There's no such thing as peacetime. There's only daily combat. There's no such thing as an honorable discharge from active duty during this lifetime. So as you can see, we are all veterans. And for those who complete the tour of duty honorably, there are eternal benefits like eternal life insurance. And if you think about it, that's all we really need. We're not going to need any medical benefits like TRICARE. And that's because there will be no more sickness, no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. In fact, the only scars that we're going to find in heaven are in the hands of Jesus Christ welcoming his veterans home. There are two flags that we have up here on the stage. There's the Christian flag that represents our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And we have the American flag that represents our wonderful great country. Now, to serve in the army of either of these flags and the kingdoms that they represent faithfully and effectively, both of them have certain requirements. One has a spiritual focus, whereas the other one has some physical requirements. For instance, recruitment into either of these armies are voluntary. I mean, think about it. There's no forced draft in America today anymore. And when it comes to God's kingdom, no one has ever been forced to serve. Both armies have recruiters that they send out to encourage people to volunteer to serve. Armed forces recruiters, they target a specific audience, whereas Jesus invites each of us individually to come and to follow him. Now, in the armed forces, there is a little difference between the armed forces and the army of God. In the armed forces, not everyone is fit to join. If you want to join the armed forces, you have to be a U.S. citizen. There are certain age requirements. Education and testing is required. And you have to go through a physical. Whereas to join the Lord's army, it's all about a commitment. You all remember the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he wanted to join the Lord's army. He wanted to join the kingdom army. And if you remember the story, Jesus what? He tested his commitment. He told him to go and sell everything he had and give it to the poor. And that man failed the test. You see, Jesus had no use for worldly riches. And that's what was important to that rich young ruler, his possessions. You see, soldiers in the Lord's army must be committed to Him. They must be loyal, obedient, and have faith in Him and Him alone. And if you want proof, just take a look at the 12 apostles. Their commitment meant voluntarily leaving their homes and their careers to follow Jesus. And all of them except Judas willingly gave their lives in His service. Now, in the armed forces, not everyone can be a recruiter. Depending on the branch of service, you have to go to a school for 6 to 9 weeks to learn how to be a recruiter. But that's not the case in the Lord's army. In the Lord's army, everyone is a recruiter. We're all called to be recruiters. Everyone is to go out into their communities and share that wonderful gospel message of Jesus Christ. I mean, look at what the Lord's top recruiter wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." In other words, as God's recruiter, we are also His ambassadors, speaking His words to others through the Holy Spirit. Now, once the new recruits commit to join the armed forces, they go to this wonderful, wonderful place called boot camp. It's just an awesome place that we wish was longer, right, Larry? Oh, man, would have been great if it would have been 16, 17 weeks. Now I'm lying and I'm going to get in trouble. Of course not. It's not a wonderful place. It really isn't. But it is necessary. Boot camp is all about giving you a new look. Boot camp is all about learning about a new life. It's all about learning what's expected of you so you can become an effective part of the armed forces. And this new look starts with a haircut. And it comes with some new clothes before physical training ever starts. But Jesus' new look, the army of God's new look, is just a little bit different. His new look focuses on the Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, we become changed on the inside, which eventually change us on the outside. It takes the outside a little bit longer to catch up to the inside. But eventually it will happen. For instance, as a new creation, we start to change our attitude, at least we should anyway. We start to dress differently. Instead of wearing offensive clothing, we start wearing clothes that represent our Lord more appropriately. We start to control this, the mouth, the tongue. We find ourselves blessing rather than cursing others. And we're also more careful what we put into our bodies, since our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all of these changes, that's what causes us to love each other more, causing us to be more understanding and more forgiving. And Brian Flannery is one of those people. Brian is a veteran who was wounded in Afghanistan. The armored vehicle that he was riding in rolled down a ravine. He had to have 9 pins put into his shoulder. He also had to have a partial hip replacement. He also suffered a traumatic brain injury that left him with a poor memory, a bad stutter, vision problems, no hearing in one ear, and a wicked ringing in the other. Well, as he was recovering, he convinced himself that he could no longer be a good soldier, a good husband, or a good father. So he decided he was going to kill himself. He was going to commit suicide. If there's no chance tomorrow will be better than today, then what's the point, he thought. So he sent his wife and his 2 children to live with relatives in Indiana. He then went back to his bunk and swallowed the contents of 2 bottles of pain pills. He said, for the first time in 2 years, I was happy because I knew it was finally, the pain was finally going to be over. Well, another soldier came in to see if Flannery wanted to play some video games and found him unconscious. The next day, Flannery found himself in the hospital room, angry that he was still alive. So he started planning different ways to finish the job. One day he was walking by the Fort Campbell Soldiers Family Assistance Center when a civilian in a black reboot recovery t-shirt came outside. Now, Reboot Recovery is a peer-led trauma healing program for combat vets. Well, after a short conversation, Flannery turned to go back into his barracks to eat some cheap packaged ramen noodles, when this guy from Reboot Recovery threw out the one sentence that would save Flannery's life. He said, we've got free food in here. You want to come in? Well, Flannery grabbed some spaghetti and looked around at all the soldiers in this place. And in his own words, he said, I saw a ton of guys who were just like me. But the difference was they weren't hopeless. Brian Flannery started attending those meetings and he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. In other words, he became a new creation. And as his wife Jennifer said, his life went from despair to hope, from pain to purpose, from bitterness to joy. Now, even though Brian had become a new creation, he still faced a long, long journey of healing. But the important thing is that he started his boot camp as a new creation, and now he was being transformed into the life of a soldier for Christ. Now, there's something else about boot camp that people don't understand. It's not just about physical training. It also requires a lot of classroom training and studying training manuals. And you know what? Jesus' boot camp requires the same thing. It also requires classroom training. We like to call it things like Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, things like that. And here's the thing about both of these armies. The training never ends. It never ends. And you know why? Because the enemy is always out there. The enemy is always out there on a search and destroy mission. You know, even Jesus himself went through a type of basic training to prepare himself for the ministry. You all remember the story. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, Satan began to tempt him. And Satan used scripture, or should I say Satan misused scripture, to tempt Jesus. Now, in his human form, Jesus had studied scripture from his youth, and he was also being led by the Holy Spirit, and Satan was no match for Jesus. You see, Jesus had proved himself combat tested, a worthy commanding officer ready to lead his soldiers into battle. You know, our military has produced some high-quality leaders. General Patton, General Douglas MacArthur, Colin Powell. Pretty much all of them have written books on leadership that have provided valuable training for soldiers. But Jesus' lessons on leadership and wisdom recorded in this, the Bible, goes far, far beyond even those. Now, while Jesus' ministry is recorded in the Gospels, God's teachings are woven throughout the entire Bible. For instance, one of the most important Old Testament lessons for us soldiers of the cross is found in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you all see what the prophet Isaiah is saying? He's saying that we are to wash and make ourselves clean. In other words, we're to learn to do the right things. We're to seek justice. We're to defend the fatherless. We're to care for the widows. Like the soldiers in boot camp, we have become a new creation, and we are training for the causes of our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. And notice Isaiah doesn't stop there. He says, if you and I follow God's orders, if we become obedient and willing to listen to what he says, we'll know victory. But if we're not, we will be devoured by the sword. And that's because you and I cannot survive combat against Satan without God. Satan will chew us up and spit us out. That's why we need God. Now, another thing about boot camp, really isn't that long. Seems like it goes on forever, but it's really not that long. Depending on the branch of service, it lasts anywhere from 7 to 13 weeks. Now, after you graduate boot camp, you're assigned your expertise. In the Air Force, we call it your AFSC. And you go on different ways. You go to different schools. Some go to infantry units, some to tank corps, some to heavy weapons units. The Navy personnel, they go to different ships, and Air Force, they go to different bases and things like that. When I was in, we went to a place called Chanute. Do you remember Chanute in Illinois? Yeah, they closed that place a long, long time ago. That's where I went to school. So you go to different places and things like that. And you know what? It's the same thing when it comes to the Lord's Army. We're also assigned to different areas of expertise. Some become pastors. Some are teachers. Some are lay speakers. Some are administrators. I mean, it takes a variety of skills and continued training for a church to become an effective unit. And that's what we are. We're a unit. And once the church members become seasoned veterans, then guess what? Their job is to teach the less experienced veterans. And you want to see a great example of that? Well, just take a look at Paul's second letter that he wrote to his little protege, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Look at what Paul writes to him. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now look at what he says here. "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And then listen to this. I think a lot of Christians can learn something from this. "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits." I am telling you, this election that we just went through, way too many Christians lost focus. They've lost focus on the big picture, and they got so hung up on this election. They lost focus. They were mad at each other. They were screaming at each other. They weren't acting like Christians. They lost focus. Because it says, don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. And if you're in the military, we're told that. I remember, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in the military, President Bill Clinton, he became president. And I was at the Air Force Academy when that happened. And the entire base, we were called to go into an auditorium. And if you know anything about the military back then, I would say 98% of the people were Republicans because of Ronald Reagan and things like that, and George Bush, big supporters of Ronald Reagan, because they were really good to the military. Pay increases and things like that. Well, when Bill Clinton became president, we had a general stand up, and he came over to us and he said, "Not one person here will say one thing bad about our new commander-in-chief. You got it?" And we were like, "We got it." In other words, a good soldier does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. I think we can learn something. Since his arm is to please the one who enlisted him. We almost act like Donald Trump is the Messiah sometimes, don't we? I'm sorry, we do. We act like Donald Trump is the savior of this country. No, savior of this country is Jesus Christ. Amen. Time we start acting like it. An athlete. And he goes on, he says, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this? He was in prison. And what was he doing? Was he having a pity party? No, he was encouraging Timothy. He was encouraging him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, inviting him to join in his suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying that if Timothy is to follow his mentor's footsteps, he must look upon himself as a tried veteran, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, prepared for the danger and the trials which in those days awaited such a calling. And you know, Paul's advice could have been written to us. That could be written to us today. Because how many of us get tangled up in the messes of this world? In false teachings, in political rallies and things like that. You know, I think we sometimes forget that our commanding officer, Jesus Christ, is not under this flag. He is under this flag,
Amen.
The Christian flag. I think we sometimes forget that we do. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't be involved in American responsibilities like voting or opposing the wrongs of society and supporting the good things? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is our first allegiance as a veteran to the Lord's army is wanting to please our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. You see, what we do under the American flag should never entangle us and keep us from our Christian duty and our faith. That's what I'm saying. All right, one last thing about the military before I close. The longer a soldier serves, the more experience and the more wisdom that veteran soldier possesses, and the more responsibilities that are given to them. And that means that those coming up through the ranks can look to him or her as a wonderful example for guidance, for training, just like Paul did for Timothy. Friends, we have been recruited into Christ's church, his army. And that means that you and I need to train daily to prepare ourselves to fight against Satan's army. And that means that we need to continually strive to be better, stronger soldiers, not just bystanders. We have too many bystanders in the church today. Some people call them pew huggers. We need veterans that follow our commanding officer, Jesus Christ, out of love, faith, and loyalty to him. Now, as I get ready to close, there's one universal lesson to be learned by veterans of our churches, our military, and even our sports teams. And that is, you have to keep focus on the leader. You need to trust and you need to obey in that leader. Because once the enemy takes the army's focus away from that leader and separates the veteran to choose to go on their own path, that's when the army loses its cohesiveness. That's when it loses its effectiveness. And it's the exact same thing that happens to the church. When our churches don't focus on Jesus, when they don't study his word, when they don't come together and pray together, when they don't work together as his church, that's when Satan gains control of the church.
Amen.
But when soldiers of the Lord's army, veterans of his church, march in step together under his flag, bearing the symbol of his cross, well, that, my friends, is an awesome sight. And I'm telling you, no other army can stand against that flag. So, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you today, Father, and we ask for your protection. Father, as the battle rages around us, protect us. Protect us from evil. Protect us from those who seek to do harm. In our world, we see this evil in so many different forms. And Father, we pray for courage and boldness to stand up against it. Father, may we play our role in this battle, even when it feels like the enemy is winning. Father, surround us with your love, surround us with your comfort and hope as you walk alongside us through every fight we face in this world. And it is in Jesus' precious, precious name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand as we close our service. Stand up, stand up.